All right, and we're back. Guys, welcome back to Cover Season. This is your boy D-Dub, and I'm here with my guy.
You already know, Easy Ollie. We're ready for another show.
Let's get straight into it. Let's go. First down. Bring us in, Ollie.
Yeah, man. First down, we got our recap for the games of the week. I think we were pretty close. I think I had you at 4-1, and I was 3-2 with our picks. Let's start off with one of the big afternoon games, man. I want to say that the Giants and Redskins game was pretty good, especially for the Giants, not so much for the Redskins. I want to talk first about the mismanagement of Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, for sure. I think I touched about it last time that they shouldn't have brought him in unless he was going to do his own thing on his own two feet. And they really, really messed up his opening opportunity. Like, with Daniel Jones, they did it right. Like, even though they knew from the beginning of the season, like, he was going to be the guy eventually, they're like, okay, we're going to bring him in on his own two feet. Let him start the game. We're going to bring Eli down and go forward. They just threw Haskins in there to the wolves, and I ain't like that at all.
Yeah, this is my thing with the Redskins. You draft a guy in the first round, quarterback, you expect him to be the quarterback of the future. You have done nothing to prepare him. Nothing. Preseason, didn't play much. Now, in the regular season, one, you have him go up, I think, what, 3 or 4 drives in after your starter goes in, so he has no rhythm. As ready as you expect the next man up to be, for a quarterback, it's a little different. You have to have some type of rhythm going into the game. And, you know, yeah. Sideline throws during the game is not going to help. I think that the level of emotion that Dwayne Haskins was feeling, not only, one, did you throw him in about 3 series in, but he's going up against his hometown team. Mm-hmm. He's going up against the team that he wanted to be drafted to. No matter what anybody else says, if you saw his face draft night, you could see the disappointment when the Giants skipped over him. So, you know, he already has some emotions right there going up against that team. You know that he wants to put his best performance out. So, you know, he's going to be pressing a little bit. And the number one thing as a quarterback, you know, you're not supposed to do is press, you know. And I felt like that led to the very first interception that he threw. And yeah. I just think that, you know, they need to make a decision. You know, I'm hearing this week they don't know if they're going to start Colt McCoy. They don't know if they're going to start Case Keenum. They don't know if they're going to start Dwayne Haskins. Figure it out. Mm-hmm. Number two, why is Jay Gruden still there?
I got something for you right there. Especially at the end where, you know, with who they're going to start next week. To be honest, they can't even walk this back. You already put Haskins in. Why even walk it back to somebody else? Let the man get the reps. You could see it. You could see that he wasn't connecting with his receivers and stuff. And at the same time, the Redskins are injury prone. They're missing 6 of their starters.
I told you they need a new trainer.
Mm-hmm. they need a new trainer. Jordan Reed out indefinitely. They don't know where he's at right now in the concussion protocol. They're saying that he may not even be able to return due to the severity of, you know, his concussion history. So that's your leading tight end. I mean, granted, you do have Davis, who's been performing somewhat well, and he is a veteran and he can, you know, fill those shoes easily. But when your other receivers aren't healthy and you only got Richardson, what is going on? He's not getting the reps in practice. You can see it. He's not making the connections. If this is your starter, why is he not getting the reps that he's supposed to be getting? He looked like he was out of step and out of time. Jabril Peppers was ready for it. First play, boom, interception, pick 6. So going forward, I think they just need to keep giving him those the starting reps. Don't even interchange it with Colt McCoy. It's going to give him bad morale, and it's not going to help his confidence. Nope, not at all.
It's not going to help his confidence if they bench him this week. I feel like with all young quarterbacks, Once you throw them in the fire, leave them in the fire. Let them learn how to get out themselves. They have a beat up offensive line. Their running backs aren't producing so far. Adrian Peterson is looking his age right now. Chris Thompson, who had a few big plays. I think that they need to feature him a little bit more. I mean, just they gotta get Jay Gruden out of there, man. There's nothing happening. There's nothing happening with that guy.
As much as I want to get rid of Jay Gruden, because he's on like my last nerve right now, you have to also look at the injuries that he's working with. Because no matter, I don't care what coach you put in there, even if you put Bill Belichick, that team is, they can't go nowhere. Their number one back in Geis, it hurt end of the preseason. So when your feature back is getting hurt, you have an older back that's really starting for you. And then you have Thompson, who's a slot receiver, special back type feature. Those are your only guys that you're really counting on. You ain't got nobody else. Your defense is garbage. And you also have your one of your veteran corners who's getting burnt all the time. Josh Norman was...
He had one good play.
He had one good play, but he was getting beat all the time. He was getting beat all the time. And you can see it. There was a lot of mistakes on defense, a lot of penalties. Especially on your guy, what's his name? The safety,
Landon Collins.
Nicholson. Landon Collins. Nicholson, Monte Nicholson.
Yeah, I like Monte Nicholson.
Had a penalty, but it was abysmal. I think the defense can do a lot better, and plus,
I think they have pieces. I mean, they made that change when they took Norman out and put Jimmy Moreland in. He's pretty solid. I like him as a corner. Quentin Dunbar, he played well. He had the interceptions. He played well.
Yeah.
I think that they're just missing a few pieces, defensively. I think defensively, this team is almost there. Their front seven is very physical. They have good linebackers, good edge players. I think they got it on defense. They're missing a few pieces only. My issue with this team is you're at a point where some of your best players are not there. So at this point, what you should be doing is trying to get value. Trent Williams does not want to play for you anymore. Get value for him. He's one of the top three left tackles in the league. So get some sort of value for him. You know, if you're having issues, go ahead and see what you can get for him. Get some draft picks. Get a player that can help you now. You look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. What did they do when they lost a safety? They went and got Fitzpatrick. When they lost a tight end, they went and got Vannett last night, who had a big catch in the third quarter, for the Steelers. So go out and get, if you're really in the business of winning, go out and get somebody to help your team. I feel like if the next man up isn't performing, go out and get somebody for your team to help him out. And we look at the other side of the ball from Sunday, the New York Football Giants. Their defense is starting to play better. I know a lot of people they paid the Redskins. The Redskins, even though they've lost outside of last week, they've been putting up points on offense. Case Keenum was what? Third in the league in passing yards. He had 7 touchdowns. So they were able to put points up outside of the dud that they had in Chicago. But outside of that, they've been scoring on teams. So they held them to three points. They scored on Dallas. They scored on Philly. You know, they're able to do that. So to me, hats off to them.
Hats off to them is right. But you still got to give the Giants a lot of credit, because even with Danny Dimes, aka my guy Daniel Jones, he was looking all right, and he did throw 2 interceptions, and this is like
it was good for him.
It was good for him. It settled him down. We did speak about it and say that it was one of his weaknesses, and that he was holding the ball too long. There was one pass that should have been, thrown right through the middle of Sterling Shepard,
that was the first interception.
And that ball should have been out quickly, much sooner, and it didn't happen. But also, this game had a lot of questionable calls. Two offensive pass interference calls on Cody Latimer. One of them was in the end zone, was real questionable. You got both guys with hands on each other. No real push off or anything. Just a little, you know, football play. And then another one on Cody Latimer on that 50-yard pass.
That was big.
That should have been, I think, you know, Pat Shurmur should have challenged it. There was definitely no pass interference. Any kind of contact came within, you know, the 1 to 2 yard boundary between the receiver and the corner, and that should have been challenged. That's a bad call. There was a lot of penalties this game, lots of penalties, and the actual penalties that counted against the Redskins, I think was like 11, but there must have been at least 14 or 15, maybe even 16 penalties.
There were 15 in the first half.
Yeah, 15 went off.
15 flags in the first half.
And some of them had got offset because Giants had penalties as well. The Giants this week had more penalties than they had in the last previous weeks, and they looked a little bit of a unsettled, offsides here and there. They need to get back in rhythm into what they were doing. But Wayne Gallman stepping up and doing big this week. 116 rush yards, 55 receiving yards, two TDs, but he has a little bit of fumble problems. I think he needs to go see Tiki about, holding that ball, because we've seen it before. Wayne Gallman has had an issue with fumbling the ball.
So far,
same thing with Danny Dimes. And we just go need to follow up on that, because Wayne Gallman, if he's going to be able to fill some kind of space while Saquon is gone, I mean, he did a great job this week. He needs to be able to take care of the ball. And if he can't take care of the ball, then they're going to be in big trouble, because without their run game, they definitely can't set up the pass game, because the passing game this week was a little bit iffy, especially with some of the OPI calls and the penalties. So they really need to establish that run game, and he really needs to protect the ball.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Wayne Gallman he struggled. Ever since leaving Clemson, he has definitely struggled with fumbles. With the Giants offense, what I feel for them is, right now, they're at a time where Daniel Jones can grow on his own. He doesn't have Saquon back there to kind of help him out. Right now, it's his show. So the benefit of that is, when you get Saquon Barkley healthy, ready to go, your offense is only going to be better once you're comfortable. A lot of people, don't even realize that he's been thrown to some bums on that Giants team right now. Benny Fowler, TJ Jones. Mm-hmm. Those guys won't matter next week. Why? Because he's getting Golden Tate now. So yes, now, sir, instead of looking to those guys, now he's looking at Sterling Shepard. He's looking at Golden Tate. He's looking at Evan Ingram. And then now he's also looking at the rookie who's been playing pretty well, Darius Slayton. So now he has four guys that he can look to before he looks to Cody Latimer, Benny Fowler, TJ Jones, and those type of guys. So now you're giving him sort of a Golden Tate is one hell of a security blanket. He's one of the best slot receivers in the league. And as we've seen the last couple of weeks from the Giants, Sterling Shepard is just fine on the outside. Evan Ingram is just fine on the outside. Darius Slayton is just fine on the outside. So the biggest questions about them, they don't have any perimeter guys. We see it now. They have perimeter guys. And now you bring in this guy, Golden Tate, put him in the slot, you're going to have that production underneath and over the middle. What I think about, Saquon being gone with Wayne Gallman and the rest of those backups, the offensive line has been playing much better. They're top half of the league right now. So they've been playing much better. They're opening holes. They're keeping Daniel Jones safe. So you're able to get good production from your running game. I think outside of the turnovers, they haven't hurt them so far the last two games. Outside of the turnovers, I think that they're definitely progressing. Daniel Jones is getting comfortable. I think that 50-yard OPI called, that was called back on that pass, I think before that, he was lacking a little bit of confidence. But when he saw that, he made that throw, I think it was on the third down or second down that he made that throw, you know, it gave him a little bit of confidence back after those two interceptions. So he you know, he's got a good demeanor. The offense is on the come up, believe it or not, they're on the come up. And as far as the defense goes, I know they lost Ryan Connolly. He was their best defensive. He was the best linebacker, man. He had two interceptions the last two games. He had a sack last game. He had a interception again last game. He had a great, great tackle for a loss on Chris Thompson earlier in the game that, like, saved the first down. Like, he has really progressed. I think he was going to come up to be the next linebacker for the future for them. But unfortunately, with the ACL injury, he is going to miss the season. I would like to see how they fill that void up. But the defense is playing good. I was seeing yesterday, Jack Rabbit is second in the league in deflections. As much as people have picked on him, you know, for getting killed by Mike Evans, he's second in the league in deflections. So all that means to me is people are targeting him and he's making plays defensively. So the defense just needs back some last help. Week.
He bounced back last week. Yeah, he had a great game. You know, two interceptions. He was locking down the receivers. So congrats to Jack Rabbit on a comeback game. But now we're going on to game two from last week. And, your boys.
Those are your boys.
The Chiefs and the Lions. This was the game to watch. This was a shootout. This was a true shootout. To be honest, it went down to the last, 3 seconds of the game. And the Chiefs, you know, ran it for a touchdown and just won it with you know, a few seconds left on the clock. Defensively, the Chiefs looked great. The Chiefs looked great defensively. Their defense looked like they were stepping up. Their defense had a TD, a fumble recovery, 99 yards. Kerryon Johnson fumbled on the 1 yard line, and then the defense recovered the ball, ran it back for 99 yards. But the Lions also defensively monster. The Lions defense almost shut down Pat Mahomes to no passing TDs. First game where he had no passing TDs. The Lions defense are underrated. I think they're a great defense. Snacks, hell of a game. He had a sack. I think that with the Chiefs being down early and they were able to tie it before the half, you could see it in their eyes. They were a little concerned going into halftime. But their confidence and the momentum started building, and it just kept going back and forth from there.
Last week, I said this game was going to go down the wire. It was going to be 34-31 Lions. I know you was looking at me crazy. You know, everybody's like, the Lions are a for real team. Matthew Stafford is playing lights out. We'll get to the offense later. It was a tough game. It was a tough game for Pat Mahomes. You're definitely right. They made a hard for him. He went 0-for-11 on passes 30 yards or more. Patrick Mahomes, the guy on the cover of Madden. The Patriots didn't stop him from doing that. The Chargers ain't stopping from doing that. The Ravens last week ain't stopping from doing that. These are good defensive teams. The Lions are on the come up as far as the defense goes. Multiple plays throughout the game, you saw Patrick Mahomes evading out of the pocket. Normally you see him doing that, it's something that you should be worried about. But he was evading out of the pocket because he was in trouble. Multiple and no plays. One to
throw to.
Exactly, and no one to throw to. Without their top cornerback, Darius Slay, who was injured, they multiple plays. Devin Kennard was on him. Trey Flowers was on him. Snacks was on him. Those guys were getting after it on that offensive line. I think that the Lions are definitely a team on the come up. I had told you earlier in the year that You know, I thought that, you know, Matt Patricia was, you know, on a hot seat. And I thought that he definitely needed, you know, the guy coming from a Super Bowl team, number one defense, he definitely needed to, you know, put his imprint on the team. And I think that they have finally gotten there to a point where he has molded this team. It was very unfortunate that they lost the game. I think that the Chiefs played extremely well at the end of the game. Pat Mahomes was motivated. I saw that video when he was in the huddle. He was very motivated. He did not want to lose the game. And that's what great players do. Even when they're down, they pick the guys around them up and, you know, they lead. And that's very good to see from a sophomore dominant player like Mahomes. I think that, you know, the team believes in him. They know that he's their leader, even though he's, you know, people, you know, might say, oh, he's younger than those guys. They probably don't listen to him. It's not about age. It's about a respect thing. And those guys in the locker room really respect him, and he respects them back. And I think that, you know, they're the team to beat in the NFL, man. That was a tough game for them. You know, they withstood everything that Detroit threw at them. And, you know, they succeeded. They won the game at the end. They're still undefeated. They're 4-0. So, you know, I think that was huge for them. I knew it was going to be a tough one. You know, I told you they were going to be tested, and they definitely were tested in this game. I think that, you know, they really have the team to beat right now. We'll talk about that later on in the show. As far as the offense goes for Detroit, Matthew Stafford is playing well, man. He's finding his receivers. They are outside of that fumble. They're starting to run the game, the ball well throughout the game now. You know, earlier in the season, mm-hmm. the first week and a half, you know, it wasn't bad, Johnson. But, you know, they kind of struggled. You know, the holes weren't there. But, you know, they're starting to pick up, and the offense is starting to rev up. And, you know, they got a gunslinger at quarterback. What more can you ask for? He's going to throw the ball when it needs to be thrown, and he's going to find those guys. And, you know, his receivers, Jones and Golladay, those guys are playing lights out. The rookie, T.J. Hockenson, you know, he was quiet the last few couple of weeks. He's back. He scored again on Sunday. So, you know, they're definitely picking things up on offensively on the Lions.
Yep, and I had called that T.J. Hockenson out on a couple of weeks ago because, you know, I was kind of iffy about him, but you were right. You were definitely right about him. You were so right about him. I picked him up in the Fantasy League, which was a great pick for me because he did well this week. So shout out to T.J. Hockenson. And now let's move on to the next game of the week, the Browns versus the Ravens. Now, this was a big shock to me. Well, because first of all, I picked the Ravens to win this one. And I had the Ravens, you know, 38-14. And the Browns, they smacked the Ravens. Now, I only say that just because that's what the score says. But this game was close until the third quarter. And once the third quarter came around, the Ravens defense, they just got picked apart. And Baker Mayfield said, you know what? We're just gonna keep running the same play. You guys don't want to offend it. We're just gonna keep running the same play, play after play after play, and they kept getting burnt. And also, we also got to give it up to Nick Chubb. He had a phenomenal game. You know, he over 160 yards and a TD. I think that's probably one of his best games ever. And the offense, they were clicking. They were clicking. OBJ did not have to save him this week. He played his part. He had a couple catches. You know, he was limited to 40 yards. But hey, when the offense puts up 40 plus points on the board, you can relax and you can chill. Another week with another tight end with another TD. You could tell Baker Mayfield likes to check down to the tight end because each and every game this week, the tight end this year. The tight end has had a touchdown, and you whether it was Njoku or Ricky Seals-Jones, the tight end is his favorite check down, and you could see it, and it worked out this week. On the other side, the Ravens, oh man, everything was looking decent. The defense was looking okay, and then they just fell apart. Third quarter, it just got busted wide open. I'm not even mad at Lamar Jackson because he looked good, his arm looked good. But they couldn't put it together. You know, I just don't know where the Ravens go from here. After you know being destroyed like that, what does that do for them, for their morale, their confidence? What you think?
Well, you know, for the Ravens, I think that you know two big losses, and these are the reasons why they're big losses. One, you're going up against you know the best team in football last week. You kind of showed up, but you didn't show up, and you lost that game. This week, it's a big game because you're playing a talented team, not only a talented team in your conference, but a talented team in your division. So they needed this win. Now they're down 0-1 to the Browns in the division. So it hurts them a little bit. I think that they'll be okay. I still like the Ravens.
That was a bad home loss.
It was.
That was a really bad home loss. I think that might have been the worst home loss that they've had in a long time since almost
for a very long time.
Yeah, since before they won the Super Bowl in the early 2000s. That's the worst home loss that they've had.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen them lose that bad. But I think they'll be okay. And the reason why I think they'll be okay, it starts with the head coach. Harbaugh, he's a veteran head coach. He's been to the playoffs. He's knocked off the best team before. He's won a Super Bowl, you know, so he has experience. He knows what's going on. I think as long as he's confident, as long as he believes in his players, he shows his players that he believes in his players, I think that they'll be okay. Also, for the Ravens, I think that, you know, they just need to come back to earth and get a little bit settled. They had the first two or three big weeks of the season where, you know, everything was going good for them. And then, you know, they throw two eggs up in the air. I think that next week, hey, it's a new week. It's a new game. You can't win the season in one game. You know, that's what teams, you know, people fail to realize. You can't win the season in one game. So, you know, next man up. Get your groove back, you know, get to performing the way that you've been performing, and you'll do okay. As far as the Browns go, shout out to them because I still don't believe in them. You know, and the reason I don't believe in them is because they have to show me that they're good. It was a good game for them. They beat a good team. Nick Chubb, I like him a lot. He's a very good player, great running back. I think that they needed him to break out. Two reasons why they need him to break out. Just like I alluded to Daniel Jones earlier, as a quarterback, a young quarterback, you need to give them some sort of security blanket that they can grow with. All of the great quarterbacks have always had like a favorite guy that they came up with. Peyton Manning had Marshall Faulk at first, and then he had Edgerrin James and then Marvin Harrison. Guys that he knew he can trust. They would get the ball. They would save him. Tom Brady, for a long time, had Kevin Falk. That was his guy. Mm-hmm. That was the guy that would save him. He had Deion Branch for a long time. Those were his guys.
Wes Welker.
Then he had Wes Welker.
Can't forget Wes Welker.
He had those guys. Aaron Rodgers, when he first came in, he had Jermichael Finley. He had Donald Driver. He had those type of guys that he knew that he could count on. You even talk about Drew Brees at a point in time. Deuce McAllister. He had that. He had Joe Horn for one season where he could trust him. He had guys that he really could trust. Reggie Bush. He had security blankets. To build a team with a quarterback to, you know, have him succeed in the future, you have to give him those type of things. And by Nick Chubb having that type of game, it helps Baker Mayfield. Because Baker Mayfield knew he could hand it off to Nick Chubb. And he can get him the ball and he's going to get a big play. Baker Mayfield didn't have a great game. He had like an average Joe game. That's the type of game he had. But you know why it doesn't matter that he had that type of game? Because they won. So if you can give your quarterback a security blanket like that, it helps. And that's why I really like Nick Chubb, the Nick Chubb pairing with Baker Mayfield. And the second thing is it's the same thing with the tight ends. Like you said earlier, he has a great relationship with Njoku where he knows he can get him the ball. And you look at a guy like Odell who had two catches on the game, it's okay. It doesn't matter that he had two catches because they won. If Odell had zero catches, he would be fine with that because they won. The only thing that he was not fine with yesterday was getting choked out. That's it. Like, that's the only thing he wasn't fine with.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Yo, he choked out, man. I mean, Marlon Humphrey told him to stop dancing.
let's just say somebody was trying to shake Odell for the lunch money. How about that? I mean, that?
Goodness gracious, man.
It wasn't looking too good.
Oh, my goodness, it wasn't looking too good.
But his brother over there, Jarvis Landry, had a great game too. 8 receptions for 167 yards.
He had a good game.
Looked phenomenal.
I told you he needed to step up.
No TDs, but... You were right in that he did need to step up, and he did exactly that. The way that their dynamic is working, if one is not on and one is not hot, the other one can get hot very quickly, and that's what happened this week, especially with Jarvis Landry. He was looking phenomenal. A lot of passes, you know, across the middle. He had a lot of deep balls thrown to him. Very, very good week for Jarvis Landry. Congrats to him.
Yep. And as we break down first down, we'll be right back. Everybody, take a break. Beginning today, we are bringing in Supporter of the Month to our show. We will be giving away items to the supporter with the biggest donation or the most picks of the week. We are looking forward to adding this to our agenda to help us gain listeners and help you further your enjoyment in the show. Yes, sir, we are second down. Let's go ahead and go ahead to the Cowboys and Saints. And what a showing that was by the Saints defense. I know you really liked them. Go ahead and run down that Saints defense for me, man.
Okay, well, we have to ask this question. Are the Saints defense the new number one? Are they the number one defense in the league right now? I mean, statistically, you got the Pats that are number one in every category in the league. Undoubtedly. So if we're going statistically, you're going to have to say no. But who have the Pats played? Who have they played? Their notable opponents? Nobody. And last week, look how they fared against the Bills. The Bills. I remember I was talking about last week, the last couple of years, the Patriots have always managed to slump against a team like the Bills or, you know, the Dolphins. Or Jets, always had their number, some way, somehow. But they managed to overcome the Bills, but not by much. 16-10. Tom Brady's worst game ever. Worst game ever. No, it was abysmal. It was a cringe to watch.
It was,
you know, the Bills defense, they did their thing. They put a lot of pressure on Tom Brady. They were able to, the secondary was able to shut down the deep balls, but it was just terrible. And of course, I think the Patriots are going to have to find a kicker because Gostkowski has missed a kick every week. Every week this season he's missed a kick, whether it's a field goal or an extra point, he's missed one. The Patriots, they were looking a little shaky, but we're going to have to see how they're going to, you know, go moving forward. The Saints were incredible. When I mean incredible, they shut down the Cowboys. Now, when we say shut down, there was no deep balls. Amari Cooper, no deep balls. Could not even make that connection, even if he prayed for it. Like he did at the end with that Hail Mary. That Hail Mary was terrible. He didn't even put it in the vicinity. He just chucked it up there like it was lunchtime in the playground and said, hey, somebody go get that. Nah, it was horrible. We have to look and ask ourselves, are the Cowboys a fluke? The first 3 weeks, they played no good teams. Who did they play? Let's be honest. Who did they play? I mean, the first week they played the Giants, and the Giants weren't ready. They didn't even look as good as they do now. The defense wasn't even close to being, you know, together as what they had last week. Who else they played?
Miami.
The Redskins.
Yep.
And Miami. The you know, the same way we're looking at the Cowboys now, are we going to look at the Patriots that way if they come up with a loss? Because they haven't played anyone notable. So when I have to give it up to the Saints defense, because that secondary shut down the Dallas offense, and they held Zeke to 45 rushing yards. 45 yards. That is his worst game ever. Out of all the games that he's ever played, 34 games, that is his worst game ever.
Yeah, I think
You gotta look at it.
The Saints defense, I mean, they played a good game. I don't believe in them. I don't think they're necessarily a good team defensively. I think that, you know, their corners are average. I think that they played a good game. And the reason they played a good game and the reason the corners were able to do as good as they did was only because of the pass rush. You know, Cam Jordan and those guys, they got after Dak Prescott, and they really put some pressure on him. I don't think the Cowboys are a fluke. I think that, you know, from playing three mediocre teams, you know, they kind of maybe eased up a little bit.
They got comfortable.
Yeah, I think they may have gotten comfortable, and they woke up second half like, oh, this shit is for real. Like, we're playing a real team right now. So I and you know what? It's hard to win in New Orleans. I mean, I've never been there, but you just know. You can feel it from the television screen, man. That is one of the loudest places. You hear it all the time. That is one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL. When you go there as a visitor, you better be ready to play. And the Cowboys were not ready to play at all. I think that, you know, as the season progresses, they'll be better. You gotta remember, you know, people forget Ezekiel Elliott wasn't there in training camp. I mean, it's not anybody's fault that he wasn't there, but he wasn't. So, you know, he's still getting his legs under him a little bit. So I'm not worried about him. I think that they'll be fine. I think that, you know, they'll start to
get better. Oh, definitely not worried about
him. I think that, you know, he shouldn't have issues getting shut down again in the future. But I think they'll be, you know, just fine. As far as the Saints go, two great games. Not great games, but two very good games by Teddy Bridgewater consecutively. So I definitely think that they're trending in the right direction. They look a little bit better without Drew Brees right now. So that's good. You know, and you know, once Brees gets back, the offense is just going to explode, you know. So I think that, you know, they're fine right now. They're you know, in a good position. You know, and we'll see what happens. I think Teddy Bridgewater is maybe playing himself into a contract somewhere else. And, you know, let's go to the next game.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah, I think so. And let's go ahead and go to the next game, which was another big division game, the Bears and the Vikings. NFC North.
Go ahead and break it down. That's your team. That got your guy, Khalil Mack, with the sack attack, the forced fumbles. Go ahead.
That's my dog, Khalil Mack. I'm telling you, he's worth every penny on the penny, for the penny, with the penny. He's worth it.
Still not worth three first round.
He's worth it all, man. They play good. They're the number one scoring defense since last year. They mm-hmm. get the job done. Week in, week out, they put pressure. Kirk Cousins is trash. He is trash right now, man. I mean, he's not finding his guys.
That offensive line.
They're not helping.
This is not the offensive line that we've seen last year or 2 years ago or even 3 years ago. This offensive line looks abysmal. This is the offensive line that I would expect, like, to be honest, that offensive line looks like the Redskins' offensive line. It is hard. It was horrible. Yeah. If Dalvin Cook didn't have the moves that he had, they'd be even worse off than what happened.
Yeah, they're not protecting the
quarterback. Granted, it was a low scoring game. Kirk Cousins did not look confident at all. You could see it in his play. He was holding onto the ball way longer than he usually does. I didn't understand it at all. I don't know if he was shook because the line wasn't holding up, but he was getting caught back there. He was getting caught slipping. He was caught sleeping. He was making bad throws. there were times where, you know, a Thielen was open and he couldn't get you know, get the ball out. He did have a good couple passes to Stephon Diggs down the field. But we haven't seen the Kirk Cousins that came out of, you know, the Redskins Nation that was throwing the bombs down the field with the high passer completion rating. We haven't seen it yet. First week he only threw 10 passes. And that was because, you know, offensively Dalvin Cook went off, and defensively they were doing well. Second week, same issue. He looked shaky. We're gonna have to keep looking at this Vikings team, and I don't know. I don't think they can contend. Not the way that they've been playing lately.
Oh yeah, and you know they got a matchup coming up next week against a up and coming confident team in the Giants. So we'll see how they fare. The Bears are legit. I think that even with Trubisky going down, he's gonna cost me fantasy points. But other than that, I'm not worried about them. I think Chase Daniel was, you know, backup last year. He played a few games for them last year and won a few games for them last year. So he's comfortable. They're gonna, you know, they got pieces all around them. You know, the defense is supreme. I think they'll be just fine. I think that, you know, the Vikings need to get it together. Like you said, man, their offensive line is not very good at all. You know, they play poorly, man. They, you know, outside of, you know, Dalvin Cook getting big plays, it's not even that he's finding lanes. He's getting chunk plays, which has helped the team as a whole. So, you know, with his ability to get those chunk plays, you know, it's helping them. But if those chunk plays aren't there, then, like you saw last week, then, you know, the offense looks bad. I think that they need to just get some rhythm. They got a young tight end that they drafted from Alabama, Irv Smith. Why they not playing him much, I don't know. But they need to get him in there a little bit more. And I think, you know, as much as, you know, guys like Thielen and Stephon Diggs, you know, as much as they play well, you know, every now and then, you know, those guys need some help, you know. So they got to get the ball out quicker. They need to make some adjustments offensively. But the Bears, you know, they're looking formidable, man. I think they're the only team that can challenge the Packers in that division. And we'll see. As far as top plays go, you know, from this week overall, this weekend, one of the top plays was Gardner Minshew, Uncle Rico himself. Won the game for him. He won the game for the Jags. He's got them looking like a legit team. They're a sleeper team. I think that they got pretty good, you know, odds of making the playoffs right now after the first quarter. You know, we're October is when you play for December and January. This is when you start that. So, you know, with October coming up and, you know, some big games coming up, it's time for them to get a little comfortable. I think his receivers are getting a little bit more comfortable. They need to adjust a little bit better. But I think that Minshew is ready to rise, man.
Oh, no, for sure. And your boy was dancing. He was dancing. He was dancing. You could see it in the pocket. He was moving around. And Gardner Minshew, I mean, he's not a, you know, 4-3, 4-4, even a 4-5 type guy, but the way that he was moving in the pocket with his feet, he was moving it like he was almost like Lamar Jackson, you know, stepping up, stepping back, stepping up, sidestep, and he was able to escape, and he was able to get the ball out, and he was able to, you know, throw a TD. It was one of the best plays of the week, and we got to give it to him. Good job, Gardner Minshew. That mustache is
The mustache is magic, but he ain't Lamar Jackson. He might be.
No,
might
no, be no. Jeff I'm not. Garcia. I'm not saying he's Lamar Jackson.
He but, might but be what I'm saying Jeff is Garcia, but that's about it.
His alertness in the pocket, as far on that play, particularly, I was like, who does this guy think he is?
He was looking. Where did he come from?
You know what I mean?
He was moving swiftly.
He was moving real well on that play. He was moving real well. But our other top player of the week, Jadeveon Clowney, coming back and making a statement. You know, they had a block punt on that play, and then he picks it up and scores for a touchdown. No, actually, it was interception. Sorry, interception on that play. Now, this is the Jadeveon Clowney that we needed to see. When he was in Houston, yeah, he had a couple big plays, a lot of injuries, But this is the Jadeveon Clowney that we need to see week in and week out, going out there, making these big plays, putting his team in a position to win. Defensively, the Seahawks have been okay the last couple of years, especially with, you know, the notable transitions and moves, players going to different teams. So with the addition of Jadeveon Clowney into the front, it gives them the ability to put a lot of pressure on these new offenses, and it worked out. He was able to get that pick, and he was able to score on that play.
Yeah, it definitely was a big play, and you're right. You know, with all the transactions that they've had over the last few seasons, losing key guys on defense, you know, the Bennetts, mm-hmm. the you know, Clarks,
Earl Thomas.
You know, they've lost a lot of key defensive pieces, so it was definitely a welcoming sight to see that from him. And they're playing pretty well. You know, I'd like to add, you know, I think that they're definitely somebody to be feared in the NFC West. And teams should really watch out. The Rams should really watch out about them. As we break second down, get ready to head to third down. You already know. Go grab a snack. Do what you do. We'll be back. Cracking the power rankings, top five teams, and for the coverage season power rankings right now, we have the Chiefs, Patriots, Packers, Saints, and Cowboys. The Chiefs are the best team in football. I don't think that the first couple of weeks they were challenged much. They got a little bit better competition against the Ravens, but they really got challenged and showed what they were made of Sunday against the Lions. I think they're the best team in football, man. The secondary has been playing well. The front seven looks good. Offensively, Pat Mahomes is the guy. Without the running game, they're still being dominant and they're still producing.
You're right. I do really like the Chiefs as the number one team. The Patriots also, but I'm gonna have like as much as we know the Patriots are a top tier team, I'm still questioning because of the teams that they have played. Granted, their performance has been remarkable. They've been able to dominate defensively, but I'm still questioning: do they really deserve that based on the caliber of teams that they played? But they still are the top teams. I still got them as number two. It just makes me, you know, want to put an asterisk next to it. The Packers, to be honest, even after the loss last week, which really came down to a few penalties here and there, and the last couple of plays went down to the wire. That they're a top contender. I do see them taking the NFC. This Packers team is hungry. You could tell. Defensively, they're a lot better than they were last year. Offensively, they're looking better. Aaron Jones is looking good, and of course, Aaron Rodgers is looking like the gunslinger he was 2 years ago. So we're going to have to see how they match up going down the rest of the season. But I do like them as the number three pick. The Saints. The Saints are who we think they can be. Without Drew Brees and Teddy Bridgewater stepping in, Teddy Bridgewater's got some big shoes to fill. He is coming in off, you know, almost a year of not, you know, not playing or just being a backup. So we're going to have to see how they continue to navigate. He's taking his baby steps, and slowly and surely they're working. He's going to need his other players to step up as well. Michael Thomas did well. Kamara did well. But the defense did well. But it was a low-scoring game. It was really a defensive game. Offensively, they were, you know, able to make a couple pass connections down the field. But we're going to have to see how they continue moving forward. If they're going to want to be able to contend in the NFC, they're going to have to do a lot of work. Granted, the NFC South is not doing so well right now as far as, like, the teams. They're doing okay. They're going to have to step it up offensively and try and get back to that performance that, you know, they were doing when Drew Brees was there. They need to be able to throw the ball down the field like they were doing when Drew Brees was there. If they can't make those throws and make those plays, then they're going to have a tough time. And in the Cowboys are a little bit I think they need an asterisk as well, because the teams that they played.
I like the Cowboys. I like the Cowboys. I think that they did get challenged, which is why,
of course, that was their first real challenge
on top of the Cowboys, because they got challenged by the Saints. But for me, I think, like I said earlier with the Cowboys, I think they're going to get it together. Ezekiel is going to get in shape. He's going to get his legs under him. Just like you said, I think the difference between them right now with the Saints and the Cowboys, the only reason I really have the Saints on top of the Cowboys is because of coaching. Sean Payton he doesn't have Drew Brees. He knows he doesn't have Drew Brees, so he's adjusted. The offense is going to Teddy Bridgewater's strengths now. So I think, you know, with Garrett down in Dallas, I think that, you know, he's been there for a while, but, you know, he's steady. This is what he's going to do. This is his game plan. I think that Sean Payton is able to adjust a little bit better, which is why they're in the position that they're in right now. They won two big games in a row against Seattle and then against the Cowboys. Two huge games against two tough teams, two very good defenses. So that's why I do have the Saints on top of the Cowboys. As far as the Cowboys go, I still have them as a top-tier team in the NFC. I think that, you know, they have a good defense. They have good guys. I think the back end got challenged a little bit last on Sunday. But, you know, I think they'll get it together. It's all with the motion. You can't win the game in one you can't win the season in one game. So I think that they'll get back to what they're doing, back to running the football, stopping teams on third down, getting to the quarterback, and they'll be okay. As far as the top five teams go, I honestly think, I know we have only two AFC teams in the top five, but it's only because I think outside of the Chiefs and the Patriots in the AFC, there isn't no clear-cut team. I really thought Baltimore was going to be the next team up, but now you're looking at, you know, they had two the Browns, struggle games. Which are kind of shaky. And then, of course, you're also looking at, you know, the Browns, who are, you don't really know. The Chargers, you don't really know. The Texans, I really like the Texans, but we've seen in the last few weeks, they haven't really played as well as I think that they can play. So I definitely think there are a few things that, you know, need to happen. But as far as top five teams go, I think, you know, you can't find a better five than these teams right now. I know that the 49ers are still, you know, undefeated. But outside of the Steelers, who have they played? So we'll learn about them a little bit more. They had a bye week, so we'll learn about them a little bit more.
Notable mention.
The next coming week.
Should we be putting the Rams in our top five, even though they lost last week to the Bucks? Should we be putting them in the top five? They are 3-1, which are tied with the Packers. And offensively, I mean, they've been putting up points all season. Should they be in the top five?
You know, with the Rams, it's kind of a give or take thing.
No.
I don't even have them in the top 10 right now. We definitely, I'll tell you why I don't have them in the top 10, even though they're 3-1. I really like the Rams. The issue with the Rams to me, outside of that win in New Orleans, we haven't really seen much. Todd Gurley is not there, which I don't know why. We've seen them put the ball in Jared Goff's hands a lot, and I think that that's not his strength. I think his strength is being able to manage the game very well. You know, those handoffs help him. You know, Todd Gurley is that security blanket that I've been talking about. Being able to hand it off to the guy, you know, he's going to give you some good yards. And, you know, you can check down to your receiver. You can go underneath. You can go over top. So, you know, they're lacking that right now. And their defense hasn't played that well. Outside of Aaron Donald, who has been phenomenal, the guys in the secondary, I think, are, you know, they're only failing because of the guys up front. You know, they're not getting lots of pressure. You know, they allow 50-plus points to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. to Jameis Winston.
Your boy, Jameis
Winston. They allow Jameis Winston. The garbage of garbage. I'm going to have
to disagree with you on that. I think that the Rams
the
should
the garbage be, of garbage.
I think the Rams should be in the top 10. For definitely 50 top 10 points because there's no way that we're not having this conversation if they didn't make that you know, if they didn't have that loss last week. Yeah, you know, it was a bad loss. But at the same time, we're talking about a team that's 3-1 with a bad offense right now. A 3-1 team with a bad offense.
They haven't played.
Not that they're terrible.
They haven't played good teams.
But they don't have rhythm right now. Same thing with the Cowboys. They never play good teams. They also are 3-1.
I think the Cowboys are better off right now than the Rams are. I think right now the Rams need a reality check.
Offensively, yes, but I can't put the Rams outside of the top 10. I definitely think they're you know, they're better than the Browns and better than the Ravens. I can't count them out as a top 10. Definitely have to disagree with you on that. But let's talk about some other teams that we should be talking about, like the Ravens and the Jaguars. These teams are looking to recuperate after the losses last week. Ravens lost last week. The Jaguars are on their way back up. Gardner Minshew doing his thing. And also, we also have other teams like the Seahawks, the Lions, and the Bears. Now, the Bears are on the come up. And so the Lions are also, they were doing great until, you know, the unfortunate loss last week. But we can't count them out because that really, it could have been anybody's game. It really depended on who had the ball in the last few seconds.
Yeah. And in that order, you know, as the teams you said, and that kind of rounds out the top 10, you know, with the Ravens, Seahawks, the Jags following right under them, and the Lions and Bears. And the only reason the Jags are there are because I think offensively they're a little bit more ahead of the Rams. In that spot, I definitely would have had the Rams if it had not been for allowing Jameis Winston to score all those points on them. But, you know, I really like the Jaguars. The defense is playing well. Even without Jalen Ramsey, they're playing well. They're holding teams from scoring. Calais Campbell and those guys are getting after the quarterback. Josh Allen. Those guys are definitely doing their job on the defensive side. The Seahawks, they're the team to beat for me in the AFC West. You know, you really like the Rams, but I think the Seahawks are the cream of the crop in the AFC West, in the NFC West right now. They're running the football. Russell Wilson has great chemistry with Tyler Lockett, great chemistry with the new young tight end they have. You know, the defense is playing well. I know they did give up some points to the Saints last week, but they're playing well. They're a very good team. I think they're very underrated. I think teams are very, you know, not worried about them right now, but they're definitely a team that, you know, that people should worry about. As far as the Lions go, we saw the performance that they put on Sunday against the Chiefs. I think they're a legit
team. They did a great job.
I think they're a legit football team. They have a very good defense. They have a very definitely good contenders. Offense. You know, so I definitely think that, you know, they're coming up. As far as the Bears, the only reason I have them all the way down here is because they don't have Trubisky. I know that Chase Daniel can win them some games, but I don't think that he's going to take them to the playoffs. I think he's a good placeholder as a quarterback. As dominant as that defense is, you know, I don't think that, you know, they can score enough points to get this team to the playoffs without Trubisky. I think that, you know, they have the opportunity with Trubisky to be a contender. They have a chance to even win the conference and go to the Super Bowl. But I think they need him to be a quarterback. Chase Daniel can only win them maybe 3 or 4 games. That may be enough, but, you know, it's not a chance that I'm willing to take, you know, with him. You know, I think that if the news, I know that they say he doesn't need surgery, but if the news is bad and it's worse and he's out longer, I think this is an opportunity to go ahead and make a move, find you a quarterback. So, you know, this isn't something to look at for the Bears. I think that, you know, outside of that, they really have no issues to me. I know they started the season a little bit slow and people were worried, but that's what happens. It's you know, it's the first month. October is where you start to win games for January and February and having a chance to play in February. So, you know, this is the month where wins count for something. So, you know, you want to go ahead and win these games that are coming up in October and see where that can take you in the long run. But outside of that, man, I think, you know, there are definitely some teams that are not in the top 10 right now that, you know, have a chance. You have teams like the Browns, the Chargers, you know, the Rams. You know, I think that those teams are just outside looking in. They have a chance to make it. You know, a few things could, you know, change and go in their favor. Teams that I don't think, you know, are close, teams like Atlanta right now and Washington. And, you know.
Oh, Atlanta's got a long way to go. Atlanta's got a long way. Atlanta's completely needs to reevaluate where they are and what they want to do offensively, because they couldn't even hold water with an empty cup. It's looking real, real bad right now.
The Dolphins.
But let's not even talk about that. That's a whole other episode about the crappiest teams in the league. But let's go on to fourth down. We got some injuries, and we also got the topic of the week. Some injuries to note. You know, New York Giants losing Connelly. Alec Ogletree also being out, and also Bradley Chubb ACL done for the season. The Broncos are already hurting as is, and now that they lose, you know, their linebacker, it's terrible. It's terrible. We're gonna have to see. Like you said, also Trubisky also being out. That we're gonna have to see how the Bears can do with Chase back there. He didn't look too bad. I mean, to be honest, he looked fairly decent, and fairly decent is what they need right now.
He knows the playbook. He knows the playbook. It's his second year in the offense.
Mm-hmm.
He's solid. He's gonna get you 3 to 4 wins, but you know he's not gonna get you to the playoffs.
He's not gonna get them to the playoffs. Their defense is gonna get them to the playoffs. Now, with that being said, the defense is gonna need a lot of help. They're gonna need a lot of help offensively. Their receivers need to step up. Robinson needs to step up. They need to be able to make big plays in order to keep this offense moving. We're gonna have to see how their running game also fares coming up this week, because I mean, Cohen did, you know, he did all right, but like it was a low scoring game with the offenses that they're gonna be going up against, high powered, high scoring offenses. They're gonna have to step it up. I mean, Minnesota they weren't even looking good at all. So I mean, for them to only come out with 16 points against Minnesota, I was shaking my head. I thought it was gonna be a little higher than that. But with Mitch Trubisky being out, that also puts them behind. And now, topic of the week, Vontaze Burfict. Do you think that the one-year suspension is it right? Do you think it's right? Do you think that he should have been suspended for the rest of the season?
They're going to get you every time. Every time that you hit a player helmet, you go in with the helmet. You know they're going to get you every single time. So as a person, adjust. I think, you know, I don't think that he does it intentionally. I don't think he's a malicious player. I mean, I think, you know, he just don't care. You know what I mean? He wants to play football that way. You know, but we don't play football that way anymore. You know, it's what he needs to understand. I think that it's affected his teams in the past. I thought the Raiders gave him a chance to see. Even when I saw the play, I mean, I know it was a big hit. I don't think it was as bad as the Packers game. Yeah, I don't think it was as bad as the Packers game.
To be honest, I didn't think it was as everyone was saying. No. For the Packers game, what about the hit in the Bucks game and the Rams game where the offensive lineman destroyed the cornerback on that pick six in the end zone? Like, there was no flag, there was nothing. I thought that hit was worse than the Vontaze Burfict kick. I mean, granted, you know, he did lower his head. I mean, they didn't call targeting. That's the part that I didn't understand. If he was leading with his head, why didn't y'all call targeting? If it was really that bad, why didn't they call targeting? They just called, you know, personal foul, and they ejected him. So, with that being said, I think he did deserve a suspension because it's not like it's 2 years ago or 3 years ago when the league is just incorporating these new rules on how we're tackling and where to aim on the body of the receiver.
Yeah, but
I think he does deserve a suspension, especially with his history, but definitely not, you know, a whole season. I think it's egregious. There are people who've done worse and, you know, have gotten lighter suspensions. Substance abuse and so on. It's a bad example because if that's the case, you're gonna have to go after, like, what's
it's
his name?
Too late. It's too late. They got their guy in Tampa Bay,
the offensive lineman. Even though they didn't catch it, is he gonna get a fine? Is he gonna get, you know, is he gonna be put on notice? That hit was egregious. He was already in the end zone, and there was no need for it. So if you're gonna No, they got their guy, but he does have the ability to appeal, and I think he's gonna win his appeal because the season long ban. I think he's gonna win the appeal. The season long.
They're gonna lose it. He's their guy. He's their new guy. Don't be him. They're gonna walk around now in NFL locker rooms. Don't be him. There's gonna be a picture of Vontaze Burfict every time. Oh, you don't want to be this guy, because now they got their guy. You know, before they didn't have a guy. I didn't think it was as bad as the Nick Barnett and Williams play. Even though none of those hits were malicious or on intent. It's just a football play is what happened. You know, it was just
to be honest. I think he could win the suspension, I don't think he's going to hold him back is his actions after the play.
I don't think he's going to play in the NFL again. Kisses and blah, blah, blah. To be quite honest,
it's one thing, you know, just, you know, put your head down, walk into the locker room, do your thing, you know, whatever. You were trying to make a play. Maybe, you know, you lost yourself in it, trying to do it. You know, you went head first, whatever. But the actions afterward is what really defines him as a person. And of course, and the NFL has no tolerance. But this decision is not made by Roger Goodell. This decision for reinstatement and all that is made by a committee outside of the power of Roger Goodell. So we're going to have to see how this is going to go moving forward. And with that, that brings us to a wrap of Fourth Down and the end of the show. We just want to thank you guys for listening, and we appreciate all the time that you know put aside for us. Again, this show is for you guys. We appreciate all the time that you give to us for us to give you a show like this. We want you to continue to support and continue to listen.